Now, you're welcome back to the last hour of the show. Lee McGowron is a journalist with Silicon Republic, and he's with us now. Good morning, Lee. How are you getting on?
Good morning. Good to be on.
It's good to have you with us. And we were inviting you on initially, and we will talk about it, the new iPhone 16 made by Apple. And then, lo and behold, we get this decision by the EU's highest court. It's upheld the European Commission's appeal over Ireland's tax relationship with Apple. Your overview of that, Lee?
Well, it's the end of a very long, confusing debate where Ireland's government has been doing everything it can to not get 13 billion euro in back taxes, essentially. So I tell you, many people might be happy to hear that the European Court of Justice has ruled Apple was underpaid, as underpaid taxes in Ireland. They owe Ireland 13 billion. Apple isn't happy. The Irish government, to some degree, isn't happy. And some, I guess, you know, business analysts or, you know, tax experts would say this is a surprising decision and could be a blow for Ireland's reputation. So,
but that being said, it's historic, isn't it? I mean, we can draw a line under it and say, look, that was of the time. Now we have a different tax regime. We don't have the double Irish. We don't have such. I mean, in the last 3 years alone, we've taken in almost 30 billion in corporation tax. So, you know, those figures are ticking along quite nicely, even with this hanging over the state.
I would agree. I think, like, again, it is very much an older tax regime. You have to remember, though, like, lots of Ireland's current tax incentives in terms of its corporate tax has been pushed on by the EU. We're still viewed by certain groups as a tax haven. We have benefited extremely well because of our low taxes historically. That's still continued on to the present day. You know, I think, personally, I still think it's a win for Ireland. And also, I would say that Ireland's government, how would I say it, their concern of being viewed as a tax haven, I think them siding with a tech giant for years to try battle not getting billions in taxes probably looks worse for its view, you know, to the common people and to other countries than it would by just taking the money and being deemed up a tax haven in the
past.
But
the government aren't worried because people are more worried about a 300,000 euro bike shed than they are about 13 billion of Apple tax money. And that is unfortunately just the way it is. So this will blow over and, you know, we'll talk about the bike shed forever like we did the voting machines.
That's just people having different, I guess, people focus on small scandals. But look, I would agree. I think this is the bigger win. I think this is the bigger thing to focus on. Again, Apple isn't very happy about it. Time will tell, you know, exactly how they're going to pay the 13 billion and if we will get the 13 billion. We obviously are entitled to get the 13 billion now because of the European Court of Justice ruling. But it's been a very long battle. It's been a very confusing period. It's been, you know, 10 years of investigations and legal.
Yeah. And the loss of about $700 or $800 million as well, which is not getting much attention, but because it was put in a savings account effectively and because it had to be a low risk savings account, it hasn't grown. It's actually shrunk to the tune of close to $1 billion, which I think is pretty exceptional. But we had Samsung on releasing figures today talking about how great Ireland is and Google and all the rest of them too. And pharmaceuticals are love it here as well. So I wouldn't be too worried about the implications of this going forward.
Absolutely.
The iPhone 16 is out now. And there's a plethora of handsets that come out every year now. And I think the space for innovation is narrowing all of the time. And I think really that's why the focus has been on cameras for so long, because you get a decent battery, you get a decent processor. Maybe the camera and AI. There's not a great deal of space for innovation. I don't think I could be as far out as you know what, Lee.
Well, I would say I'd agree with you most of the time. I'd say for the past few years now, iPhone has very much trundled along in terms of its upgrades. It's always been incremental, slight increase to the camera, a very minor change to the screen size, you know, just minor upgrades each year. I think that's also because they didn't really have to do much more than that. They were very much at the top for some time now. That's been starting to wane in recent years. iPhone is starting to dip in terms of its dominance. I believe it lost its dominance in the in the major smartphone market like this year, because other companies have been jumping onto generative AI for smartphones. So this has been a big leap for the iPhone. I mean, you know, it's even from the small things to the big ones. You know, there's dramatic new colors for this iPhone. There's multiple new buttons, and of course, then we have a big boost in terms of its software power to accommodate AI. So even outside of the actual things that AI can do, at least needing to have the right amount of, you know, power to actually use these systems means there's been a big upgrade in terms of the actual processing power. The CPU and the GPU have been increased by, I believe, 30% to 40% to the previous model. So it's definitely an improvement. It comes with a steep price tag, of course, so that's a bit of a problem. It's around €970 for Irish, and then it's around £800 from the UK, compared to $800 in the US. So we're getting the short stick in terms of pricing as well.
They're trying to claw back that $13 billion. what is the change? I mean, like, you know, there's a physical shutter button. Now, if I were Sony, I'd be looking over my shoulder going, lads, we've been doing this for years here, but that seems to be all the TikTokers think this is amazing. They've put an extra button on the side of the phone. I always would have liked to have seen one. As I say, Sony have been doing that. I think it's Sony. It is Sony. Have been doing that for years because they were seeing sort of the photographer's phone, so to speak. So that's the physical changes. When you start talking then about generative AI, do we know what they're promising as to how that might help us really? Because I like AI, but
yeah,
the everyday functionality of it, unless it can ring and order me a takeaway or something, do you know what I mean? I'm not really getting, I don't feel I'm getting the benefit of it.
I think we're still in the experimental phase of AI. It's getting there. I mean, we've been talking about AI now for the last couple of years. It's definitely less experimental than it was back in, you know, start of 2023. There's a bit more tangible examples of what they can do. Essentially, Apple's thing of AI, Apple Intelligence, is essentially, you know, an AI assistant. It's designed to just sort of make things easier and quicker for you. It's able to understand language, create images, simplify tasks. So I guess some of the easy examples, being able to summarize emails, being able to quickly search through emails of certain topics. You know, again, we already have email search,
but it's a more advanced. Gemini's been doing this for a year.
Of course it has. No, this thing, Apple has
been... People aren't going to pay €1,000 for old tech.
Apple has been, I would agree, Apple's been very late to the show. I mean, Samsung and Google have been jumping ahead. Well, you know, Samsung's already had phones that have generative AI already. I think they're going into the second generation of that. We're seeing the Pixel phones get into this. Apple took its time, and there was definitely, I don't know, some people would argue they might have taken too long. Some people would say, I think they might have waited for the competition to show their offerings, and now they're coming out being like, well, now here's ours. Here's Apple Intelligence. It's the ultimate version. Mm. And I think when it comes to brand loyalty, I mean, Apple's gotten by
on brand loyalty. Well, isn't it? Brand loyalty is so critical because until Apple do it, it's not being done right for many people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's, I think we're going to see a big boost for Apple when it comes to AI. I mean, look, they announced their AI at the Worldwide Developers Conference a couple months ago, and immediately their shares shot up. They hadn't even done anything yet, but once they confirmed they were getting involved in AI, they were back up to being one of the most profitable companies in the world. So again, it is a thing. They buy their time. They're in a very strong position. We'll see how effective it actually is when the phones get released.
Yeah, one thing I'm keeping an eye on is this suspected AI bubble that, you know, so much money has gone into this, and we're starting to see big companies like NVIDIA, a little bit of uncertainty about their share prices and what have you, in that, it reminds me a little bit like 5G. Do you remember when they first were launching 5G, and it was that you'd be in your house, but it'd be like you'd be in Wembley watching the game, you know, and effectively really what you're doing is you just got a 5G symbol on your top of your phone. It doesn't really make any fundamental difference to me anyway. But I just wonder if this, I wonder when this AI bubble's going to, if it's going to burst. Like, say I would class it as a smart house, right? I've got my blinds, I've got these little extra blinds and the lights and the bulbs and all that kind of stuff. But Google has done nothing to make that any more easy to use. It's very complicated. And that environment or that, what do they call it? There's a phrase they use it for. But anyway, it's got more and more complicated. And Google is getting worse at talking to its hubs and talking to lights and all that kind of stuff. And I just see how do you plug AI into that to make your life actually better? And I don't see that happening. And I do wonder if there is, outside of industry, an AI bubble for the general population that may burst.
I think there's definitely an industry bubble. I would put it in line with, as you said, 5G. I think, remember the big hype that was going on for a few years about the metaverse and the meta technology and all of this? I mean, it was enterprise stuff. It was business people talking about how amazing it is to other business people. We didn't see the tangible results come into the public. We probably will eventually. And I think AI I don't want to be too harsh on AI because there are some more examples of AI actually being beneficial in the real world, personally and in business, than Metaverse, for example. But I think you always have this with the first generation, the first release of products, and this we've seen the first generation of generative AI. It tends to be in a testbed. It shows all the potential. People jump out and the hype is really high. Things settle down. The early players struggle. And then you see the reality. And for that example, OpenAI was the major player. I mean, ChatGPT really started all of this, you know, hype around it. There's some evidence that OpenAI is struggling financially. They're trying to recoup, you know, get more investors in based on reports from the information. There's fears that OpenAI could become bankrupt. And
because
then,
I think too,
that would
like,
be a big shame.
Yeah, because like if you've got iPhone, you know what their product is. Right, you've got Gemini, you know what their Google's product is. You've got Grok, so you know what, it is Grok, I think, pronounced. So you know what Twitter's or Elon Musk's. OpenAI seems like something that you just open up on your computer and ask a question like we used to ask smart speakers what time it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, what is its functionality or how does it interact or what does it plug into? And that's the issue I have with OpenAI. And as soon as you try and do anything useful like create an image, you get 5 images and they try and charge you.
Well, OpenAI integrated very well with lots of other companies. I mean, you know, they're the reason Microsoft, for example, has jumped so heavily into things. You know, it's been the fuel for all these companies being on board. They're also in partnership with Apple. So there's a link between the iPhone 16's, you know, AI focus and ChatGPT.
Right? Okay, ChatGPT.
It's going to be mixed together. But the thing is, I do think there's a possibility that you're going to see when the hype dies down, and again, there's such a big push for growth, investors are getting concerned that the amount of money going into AI isn't leading to the rewards that they're promising. Mm-hmm. It's taking longer than expected.
Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing this dip recently in terms of, you know, the share prices of lots of these big tech companies.
Yeah.
Things are going to settle.
Yeah, I just, you know, augmented reality, virtual reality, 3D, there's a lot of stuff that was fantastic and a lot of money went into it. And I don't know yet. I think in terms of business, AI is going to be huge. I'm on about just from a user perspective. I really can't wait to see something that's introduced that I feel actually has added to my life in any way, shape or form. So I'm watching that with interest.
Yeah, well, I'd say it's going to take time. I think you're right in the sense that like it's gotten into the business world significantly. Certain sectors are going to be shaken up. In terms of personal use, it's definitely a bit more fun and gimmicky. I mean, people have fallen in love with, you know, quick responses from these AI bots and some of them are a bit wacky, making images and that type of thing. So there's lots of fun elements to it. I think there's lots of potential there.
Yeah.
The technology isn't exactly new, but it's just become a lot more accessible.
Yeah, and the quality of videos it can create is the quality of videos it can create. I mean, if I were an artist or a creator, genuinely, I would be concerned. Just finally, sorry, I want to mention one more thing about the iPhone. This is what I like because it increases a bit of accessibility and stuff. AirPod owners, they're adapting them or they're releasing a set that they can aid hearing.
This to me is like, I mean, the iPhone 16 is obviously a big discussion. I think this is the one that's going to stand the test of time. The idea is, I mean, we already have noise cancellation. So this is, again, it uses AI machine intelligence that can cancel out certain frequencies. They're reversing that for the iPod 4 Pro. I believe it's the Pro 2.
Mm.
And what it does is you do a hearing test. It can then detect which frequencies an individual can't, you know, pick up or to pick up as well. And then it will enhance those frequencies for anything that comes in, that whether that's in day-to-day real life or for any of the apps you're using on Apple devices to improve your hearing. That's a big, big development. I mean, that would be transformative for loads of people with mild to moderate hearing loss. So I think it's a very, very exciting development and really beneficial to people as well.
And I suppose it seems logical, doesn't it? I mean, and this is easy for us to say, but when you can play with frequencies to block sounds, why can't you play with them to enhance? So it's going to be really exciting.
It's a natural development of the existing technology. We don't really have to do anything new. It's a flipping of something we already have. So no, I think that's very exciting and very impressed with that announcement in particular.
All right. A caller says, how do you milk sheep? You bring out a new iPhone every year and charge €1,000 for it.
Personally speaking, I would say I think lots of the smartphones over recent years now have been trundling a lot. We've seen very much very small upgrades and people get the latest version because of brand loyalty. I think this one has actually gotten some actual upgrades. So, I mean, I think we're praising Apple for actually doing something new for once rather than them doing something absolutely amazing. But again, they have been late to the party. We'll see how effective Apple Intelligence actually is compared to the...
Yeah, I'll stick with me Redmi Note 16 for now. £300 Happy out.
I'm a big fan of the refurbished market. Get it secondhand a year or two from now. The price shoots back down and it's still a very effective
smartphone. Super stuff. Lee, I always enjoy chatting to you. Thank you for your time. That's Lee McGowron, who's a journalist with Silicon Republic. Will you be getting the new iPhone? How excited are you? I used to be... You know, I lived and died to get the firstly, it was the iPhone up to the iPhone 3, but then I sort of became a very brand loyal to Samsung and couldn't wait for their next phone or the next innovation to come out. But then it was costing me a fortune, like 60, 70 quid a month. And, you know, you'd be on a 2-year contract and then the next phone would come out. You're still paying 67 quid a month and you had another year to go. And then all of a sudden you were out all this money and a year behind on the technology. And it was really frustrating. Switched over to the Redmi 16 is an amazing phone, the pro version. Battery lasts forever. It's quick as a button. I can do all my video editing, phone editing, audio editing, and it's open network. I can go wherever I like and not a bother on it. And they send you with it a cover. They send you a rubber cover. There you go. And another thing came in the box that I'm not quite sure what it's for.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Right, okay, we are joined in studio now by Chris Ashmore. Good morning to you, Chris. How are you keeping? One second there now. How are you getting on?
Take two. I'm keeping very well, Greg.
Good stuff. Right. Leo Business Support Clinics. We're going to talk a bit of news first. What's going on there?
In terms of the Leo Support Clinics? Yes. Well, just, you know, we're into September now, so things start up again. There's business support clinics, quite a few to choose from. These are an introduction to supports and services that are available. So you can find out about the different grant aid processes, etc. So venues and times, Friday, September the 13th, which is this Friday. There's a course that's online via Zoom, 10 to 11 o'clock. There's an in-person course in Bundoran on Friday the 27th. So if you have a fledging business idea or something in the pipeline, well, why not pop along local Leo office? Plenty of supports there for you. And also, just let you know, an energy efficiency grant is available to businesses. So again, that's worth checking out. Up to 75% of eligible costs, up to a maximum grant of €10,000. And quite a few companies locally have already availed of that.
Yeah, indeed. And engaging with the likes of the Leo as well, you know, sometimes maybe your idea might not be the best idea in the world too. And it's no harm to sort of run it past people.
Bounce it off.
Yeah, exactly. Right, what's coming up on this podcast? We're light on news, Chris. So what's coming up on the podcast?
Well, do we want to mention Apple rulings or have you done that to death?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. What's the story? Have you an angle?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk now about how this 13... billion.
How much of that is ours? Because we were actually a tax collector from a European perspective as well. So I think some of that also has to be...
Yeah, there's talk about that. If we get it all, and there's actually interest to be added, it works out at 14.3 billion. You can bet your bottom dollar that as we approach the election, there's going to be plenty of talk about how this money will or could be spent. Look, this is going to go on for weeks and months. It'll be next year before we see anything. But I was just looking to see, do you know how much you owe as a proportion of the national debt, Greg?
You personally? I would say 47,000.
Oh, you're good. We 42,000 per capita. That's our national debt. Ireland owes about 223 billion euros, mind you, that's down from But look, every
Hudson
country
owns it. I'll be dead.
Yeah. Well, and every country has debt. Sure, the world doesn't
but
function without.
But it used to be. I think it used to be like 28,000 per head. Then it went to sort of 37,000 per head.
Spiked
now it's up to 42.
Yeah,
so
We're going in the right direction. It was 160% of national income. I think it's down to about 70%.
Yeah. And we have this situation with the Apple tax in that we've spent, you know, eight years saying we don't want it. And now we're at a situation where we're saying to the government, right, spend it on this, spend it on that, spend it on the other. And you've got Dara O'Brien and others going, well, we don't want to rush anything. Yeah. We can't spend it in certain ways.
It was interesting. I was watching the Tonight programme last night. And, you know, there is a general consensus, no matter what political viewpoint it was coming from, that, you know, this is going to be a windfall. You can't put it into day-to-day spending that you're going to have to keep reimbursing each year. So it looks
like... Yes, but how long have we been told that we can't do that with corporation tax? Like, we've been told it for a long, long time now.
Yeah, but I think you will see... look, the real winner this... infrastructural projects. Hopefully, maybe MICA homeowners may get a little bit out of it. And look, the infrastructure, a lot of those projects could be accelerated a bit, but time will tell.
Mm. You're slightly more optimistic than I. Yeah. Right, introduce us to Abdul Ahmed.
Right, on Business Matters this week, three very interesting guests. The first of them, a Syrian man, Abdul Ahmed, who fled his war-torn country. He's now living in Carndonagh and he's established his own business, which is based on bees. His family had a tradition. His father and grandfather both were involved in beekeeping. Now, quite a story here. He actually departed on a motorbike from his village with his pregnant wife. She gave birth in a camp in Greece. They came to Roscommon initially as asylum seekers, learnt English, spent some months there. Then they settled in Carndonagh, and that is now their home. He made his first beehive after joining the men's shed in Carndonagh, and his business is now really growing. And in this clip, he talks about his beehives and how he got the name for his business, Donna Bees.
So, like, in total now, 50 hives, and, you know, great people here, great local, like, help. And I have more offers, you know, from people. Abdul, if you're looking for more space, you're welcome to put a few hives in my land, in my, you know, property. So that's how I start.
And it's now become a fully fledged business, and it's called Donna Bees, as in Carndonagh, D-O-N-A-G-H, Donna Bees.
Well, yes, you know, I thought, you know, when I chose that name, I thought to give something back to this, you know, small town, like my village. And, you know, Donna is the river in Carndonagh. And I said, this will be my, you know, my business name, Donna Bees.
There you have it. And it's not just honey, of course, as you heard there, candles, propolis powder.
Yeah, it's an extract from the bees, honey and pollen. And look, bees, they tick all the boxes. And then the ecological side of things, our bees are our friends, Greg.
All right, who's next up on the show?
Then I'm also speaking with David Layden. Now, he's the head of food and agribusiness with IFAC, which is a professional services firm dealing largely with the farming, food and agribusiness sector. They've just released a report, Getting Your Business Fit for Export. And basically, they have found that an awful lot of companies, particularly in the Irish agri-food sector, are looking to expand and particularly to look at furthering their exports.
We set up this report back in 2018. So this is our seventh annual report. It's really a sentiment survey of what's happening in the food and agribusiness sector. So while there's plenty of reports there around all the SME world in the wider context, we're very much focused on food businesses and agribusinesses. And look at Donegal, big county for food and agribusiness and a big agricultural county, so hopefully very relevant. 64% of business leaders are very optimistic about the future. And that's despite all the headwinds. The 81% reporting the increase in costs, the 3 in 4 companies who find it difficult to recruit the right people, you know, all the sustainability, you know, challenges and expectations that are on companies at the moment, you know, 1 in 3 experience in short or medium term cash flow issues. So there's a lot of issues there. but they're a resilient bunch. And I suppose if you're running a business and you're leading an organisation, you really do have to have that optimism streak in you.
And finally, Chris, we're talking about our digital readiness monitor.
Yeah, now this is a report that's come out, and it found out that 36% of websites in Ireland have either a low or very low level of sophistication. Now, there's a lot of government grants and programs there to support digital advancement, but this report has looked at companies that are really not fulfilling their potential because the websites are really not up to scratch. David Curtin is CEO of the National Domain Register.ie, and he believes that more can be done to help small businesses to upgrade their online presence.
You know, we're calling on government to release some funds to help small business to upskill. There's something like 2 billion of a surplus in the National Training Fund, and really we should be tapping into that to help small business owners to upskill themselves, but probably more importantly, to upskill their staff, because let's face it, they're the people who will be running, you know, or keeping the website up and running, adding the plugins, you know, doing the social media posts and managing customers, you know, through the new digital tools at their disposal.
Business Matters available for you to listen at your leisure right now on our website, highlandradio.com, or you can listen to it just after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. Now, Chris, I always want you keeping an eye out for opportunities for me. Anything come across your desk this
week? Yeah, well, as you know, Greg, pretty much a full employment economy at the moment. Even I was looking up a jobs website, and so many vacancies in Donegal, and in particular in Letterkenny at the moment. Now, this next one I'm going to tell you about, Sligo might be the nearest place for you, but Irish Rail's recruiting over 100 new train drivers.
Okay.
So it could be the job for you, tooting up and down from Sligo to Dublin, and lots of benefits, and you can earn up to 65,000 a year as a train driver. So
that's like your dream, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I just
you'd love that.
I'm in the wrong place. I'm in the wrong place.
I know. Yeah. Well, 65k plus benefits, not too bad at all. All right,
package,
okay, brilliant. Thank
package.
You. I'm not sure. I might have to pass on that one, but keep your eyes peeled, will you?
I will indeed.
Thank you so very much indeed. If anyone wants to get in contact with you, Chris.
Businessmatters@highlandradio.com is the email address, and that's the best way.
Have a lovely week. I'll
Thank
see you,
you
back at the office, of course, but back on this show next Wednesday. Three guests into studio: Andrea McFeely, clinical lead and program coordinator with the No Barriers Foundation. Great to see you again.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you keeping?
Great, thank you. And thanks for having us all here today.
It's our pleasure. We also have Hannah van der Walt, owner of Bloom Cafe. Good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. Thank you
How
very
are you
much.
Keeping?
All good.
Good to have you in studio with us. Right, okay. Now, we are talking about the No Barriers Foundation along with the Bloom Cafe. They've launched Donegal's first ever easy read menu, and it's seen, of course, as a big step towards social inclusion and accessibility for those with a disability. Sorry, I didn't say hello to Lily and Amber Piper, too, daughter and mother. Lily uses the menu. Hi, Lily. Good morning to you.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I slipped up there. We'll come to you in a moment, Lily, if that's okay. But first, Hannah, I suppose from a business perspective and also integrating this initiative into that, talk to me a little bit about it from your perspective.
First of all, it was all No Barriers, all Andrea and Niamh. This is a great initiative that they include me on. I think it's great for Donegal to be the first cafe to have this kind of menu, just to include more people.
And Andrea, how did the idea for this menu come about then?
Well, Greg, on the DS Champions Health and Wellbeing Programme, we were very keen to promote healthier lifestyles, and part of our programme included physical activity, nutrition and social inclusion. So on the programme, we went out, we talked about nutrition, and we really wanted to support people to make healthy choices. But when we went out into the community, we noticed that people were having a real difficulty with ordering from the menus. The menus tended to be very much primarily written, and the language was a little bit complicated at times. So we thought, wow, let's make this a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, okay. And of course, you needed a guinea pig or a collaborator to do that. So how did you come up with the design for it? Like, what makes it easy read? So you've identified, you know, where the problems exist.
Yes.
But then, of course, you're, I mean, has someone done this before? Did you have a reference point or start from scratch?
Well, firstly, we're delighted to partner with Bloom Cafe. It was really, really great to go into this together. For us at No Barriers Foundation, Easy Read was something we've been wanting to do for a long time. But Easy Read isn't just a matter of putting pictures on a page. It's an expert consultation. And to do that and to develop Easy Read content, we needed an expert in that area who was able to look at making information more accessible. So we worked very closely with Niamh Walsh, who's an accessible information consultant. And we then went to Hannah and we took the menu.
Because you have to plug into this too, Hannah, don't you, as well? So you have to look at it from your perspective, like what works.
Yes, and especially with the pictures as well on the menu to make sure that the picture is really representing at the food and the product that is at the end going out to the customer as well.
Yeah, so you had that engagement, Andrea. Yeah.
So what Easy Read looks at, taking away all the complexity, the jargon.
Can I have a look at one of them too? Because I'm tilting my neck here and it's doing me head in. I want to be able to see it. All right, brilliant. Okay,
so
lovely.
It brings the information into an accessible format. But again, as I said, Greg, this is an expert consultation. It's a professional process that requires consultation with our stakeholders. And our stakeholders in this context are people who have disabilities. Mm-hmm. And this really, really is inclusive because it values people's opinions, it brings people's ideas together, and we work in partnership with Bloom, with people who have difficulties within their learning or communication profile, to actually find out what's on the menu and then independently make a choice.
So what is unique about this? Because it looks to me like a very nicely designed, easy to read. I'm sick and tired of going into restaurants and not being able to read the writing, even though I don't need glasses. So this to me is, I love this. I would love this to be applied everywhere. So how, if the people that engage with your services, is it the picture that's the key element here? I see some other symbolism. So how is it working, Andrea?
So Easy Read is a combination of making information accessible. Mm. We don't take any of the content out of the menu.
Yeah,
what we do is
there,
we simplify, we take out the jargon, the written content identifies exactly what's in the product in combination with the photo. So the photo is really clear, the information in the written content is really clear. And again, it's an expert consultation with the stakeholder, because if we get this right for the people who have a disability, we get this right for everybody in our society.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone, I think, everyone wants everything as inclusive as is possible.
Yeah.
I defy anyone not to. Lily Piper is with me as well. Lily, how did you find? Good morning to you again, Lily. How did you find ordering food with this menu?
In Korea, today, and you don't need to have your mum and dad ordering anything.
And is that important to you?
Yeah.
Indeed. And how easy was it for you to order from the menu, Lily?
Because you don't need help.
Yeah, but you found it easy to say. So
yeah.
You found it easy if you wanted a breakfast stack to let the person serving you know that.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a beautiful menu. Is there anything here that you like the taste of particularly, Lily?
I like the hot chocolate.
Yeah, but anything that's not a treat.
Pancake.
Well, that's still a treat, Lily. Right, we'll get you. Actually, the pancakes look delicious because there's bacon. And they're made with buttermilk, maple syrup and fruit. They look absolutely gorgeous. You love the food there, Lily, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Hannah, from your perspective too, obviously as a business owner, you would never dream of purposely wanting to make your space not inclusive. So this is lovely for you as well in the business.
Yes, absolutely. And because we are in the retail park, it's easy accessible for everybody. We also have the bathrooms is big enough. We are the only toilets in the retail park, as you know, a big problem at the retail park. So it's great. It's great to partner up with No Barriers to have the menu being so inclusive as it is and just to be accessible as well.
Yeah, and of course, Hannah, of course, Andrea, Hannah should be applauded and her business should be applauded as an early adapter and working with No Barriers But we would love to see this, would we not, become the norm rather than the exception.
Absolutely, Greg. And at No Barriers, we're really passionate about inclusion, breaking down barriers and really having accessible environments. But ultimately, we would love to see other cafes, restaurants, other organisations in society also taking a lead on this. This is really a human rights issue yep. regarding inclusion. We have, at the very get-go of the DS Champions programme, we looked at the UN Convention for Rights for People with Disabilities, and we really wanted to uphold those rights for people with disabilities. So bringing adaptations into our communities, and as Lily said earlier, it helps her to make a choice on her own.
It's very significant,
and it actually is a real great opportunity to allow everybody in community to participate in ordering. So this isn't just for people with disabilities, it's for everyone. People, who have experienced deficits in their neurological conditions, so anything from stroke, acquired brain injury, anything from communication difficulties, anybody on the with neurodiversity.
Which could be any of us anybody. At any time in some of those cases. Now, exactly. Do you see a scenario or whereby, say, for instance, all restaurants would have the accessible easy read menu, right? But it wouldn't necessarily replace the existing menu. So there could be a sign on the table that says, do you require an accessible easy read menu? So it wouldn't take, does that go far enough, or does that distinguish between people? What would you like to see, Andrea?
Well, again, as a human rights issue, everybody has the right to go in and independently choose what they want from a menu, or go into their post office and be able to read accessible information in there. So what we want is options for people in our communities. We want to educate our societies to fully understand the needs of everybody in society, because really environments create barriers. They create inaccessibility. So if we can provide information that's easily accessible within our environments, we then allow everybody and give everybody the right to make choices. Ultimately, the decision makers are those who use these products.
Service users.
And that's why the process of co-production, which we used when we were making the easy read menu, we involved Lily, Sean, Shawnee, Paul, a number of people who were on our DS Champions programme to come in. We invited them in to consult on the menu and give us their opinion. What makes this easier to use? What makes this better? We invited, from a business perspective, Hannah from a cafe environment to look at how could this be easily used in a business perspective. And I think, Hannah, that your opinion was that this can definitely work. You mentioned earlier in the week that you had some people that were in that may have enjoyed using the menu.
Absolutely. And not even people with disabilities. Like you said, you don't want to go into a restaurant and take ages to read through the menu. You want a quick decision. Mm-hmm. You like this. This is what you see. This is what you get.
Yeah, for sure. And just remind people, Hannah, because I see you as supporting the wider community in doing this. And it's important, I think, that people support you as well. So the menu looks wonderful, not just in how it's produced, but the food that you're producing there. So where are you located if people want to pop down for lunch? Or
we are at the retail park, just next to JD Sports, between JD Sports and Mineri's, that small little cafe.
Stuff. And Hannah, Andrea, if anyone wants to sort of, maybe there's a business owners listening, and it's not that they don't want to do this, but they never thought about doing it. Is there sort of like, there's knowledge and a model there within No Barriers for them to work with?
Absolutely. And again, we would be delighted to work in partnership with others within our local community to support people, to support everybody to access services, to feel part of their community, to feel valued. So yes, we are absolutely would be delighted to partner again with others and also put them in the right direction of any other services that they may require. Can I also take an opportunity to ask Amber, Lily's mum, what it felt like for her?
Well, sit in, squeeze in beside Lily. She's pulling you over. She knows the crack with the microphone.
Menu.
Yeah, exactly. Just from your perspective, because I speak to so many different parents and one of the key things that comes from them, Amber, is that they want their life experience of their child, if they've got additional needs or whatever it might be, to be as the same as other children as well. So how is important, or what's it feel like when you see Lily able to go in and order her food and get what she wants independently?
Well, it's a total bonus from my point of view. Like, Lily's coming 15 next week, and obviously as a younger child, we expect to order off of a menu, etc. for them, but now she's like turned into a teenager, she wants what she wants from the menu, and we go out as a family and everybody hands her a menu, but she often opens it up or turns it and looks at it, and she just sits there with nothing to do. So it's fantastic now that she can actually look through it, make her decisions, the bold print on it, etc., and look at the pictures. And she knows what these things are on the pictures. They're big enough. That's a big thing with it. The menu is lovely and big, and that she can make her choice.
And I like how easily it lays out the contents of the menu, because, you know, when it's A's and B's and C's and there's big lists, I disengage.
And
with
the allergens
it,
so is really what, yeah, great clear, as well it? For yeah. anybody. Yeah,
I agree. Lily, I think you've earned a hot chocolate.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've earned a hot chocolate, and I don't know if it's too late or too early for pancakes, or if it's a perfect time. I have no idea. But listen, it's been really interesting hearing about it. And Andrea McFeely, thank you so much for calling
thank
up to
Greg.
Us. Very much appreciated. Hannah van der Walt or Walt?
Van der Walt.
Van der Walt. Walt. I don't know why I feel like I should go Walt. What originally country name would that be from?
I am from South Africa.
Okay,
but I think it's a Dutch.
It sounds Dutch, doesn't it? It sounds more Middle European than South African.
Yes.
Okay, best of continued success with the beautiful Bloom Cafe. Lily Piper, thank you especially.
Thank you for having me here.
No, it's been our pleasure, and come up anytime that you like. And a reluctant speaker, Amber, you did well in the end. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
My rule from now on going forward, and I had the rule, but I'm going to enforce it more, if you come in here, you get the microphone. That's just the way it's going to be from now on. Because they always speak. Okay. Andrea, Lily, Hannah and Amber. Such a great idea, that menu. Makes you wonder why it's not just the done thing. It makes so much sense. I think if you look at the menu, it's done in a very stylish way. There has a continental feel to it as well. I have seen menus in different countries where you get the sort of same visual, clear, bold writing. So I'd love to see more of that here as well. Is taking native bees from the wild for business a moral dilemma? I don't know. The more bees we have, the better. I'm not sure of the ins and outs of that. The guards have been notified of the protest tomorrow in order to allow for planning for emergency vehicles. Crowds are expected to gather from 4:30 in the vicinity of the Clannery Hotel, with a Go Slow protest circulating from Lifford roundabout to the Polestar roundabout. So it's going to come in... right, that... So they're coming from... That's the Manor Hamilton roundabout, is it? Or are we the Clannery roundabout to the Polestar up and down the four lanes, or is it going out the dual carriageway as well? We'll get clarity on that. Great. Greg, is it safe to have big tech involved with our health? I don't know. Whatever keeps me above the ground, I'll sign up to that, to be honest with you. Greg, why did the government not want to take the money Apple owed them, even use taxpayers' money to fund a court case to prevent them having to pay? Makes them look bad in other EU countries, but also it would admit that we had dodgy tax setups to entice or look after companies, or to give preferential treatment to companies. So we would have to have admitted that, really, I suppose, to claim the cash. Maybe that was part of the reason. A caller wants the Apple tax set aside for the defective concrete block scheme. I think the money's there for the scheme. I don't think that's the problem. I think really it has to be redesigned so that it actually is designed to actually make people want to use it and to be able to do it without stressing themselves, but also that is, as much as is possible, covers the entire cost. It doesn't matter how big your house is, you know, if this is all happening because people were allowed to produce and sell defective concrete blocks that weren't fit for purpose, and there wasn't the oversight to catch it. And that's why thousands upon thousands upon thousands of homes across Donegal and beyond are falling down. Can you please put this on Highland Radio? Missing one red bullock from Linsfort Buncrana. We have a contact number here if you've seen a red bullock on its own in the Linsford area. Period product should be freely available. The price isn't fair. Yeah, indeed. And we were talking earlier on about the cost of hygiene products. That would fall into that as well, but it's not exclusively in that area. I think period products are becoming more freely available. Certainly there's some great work being done in schools to try and make them available. Hi, Greg. I was wondering what is driving up the price of building materials. Why is it so much more expensive to build now? Is there a shortage of supplies? And if so, do we know why? Thank you. Well, there was an awful lot went on in the world that drove concrete prices up, wood prices up, and what have you. And of course, certain schemes are going to increase prices. Let's finish off on a lighter note. My wife, Bridie O'Donnell in Convoy, thank you for all the happiness over the 57 years of marriage. Happy anniversary from your husband, Hugh. It sounds like you got a daughter to write that. That's beautiful words. Well done to you. All right, back with you tomorrow morning at 9. Have a wonderful day, everybody.